Welcome back to Brass Tacks. We have on the air Kimar Safri. And Kimar, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Yes. We got some complaints just now that from two separate people that of the elderly in the Independence Square being beaten. Are you aware of any attacks of this nature?
We are aware of attacks in the past. We would have made it public that the said Independence Square, there were persons when they leave the party area were abusing the persons that are in Independence Square. We do have one guy that is disabled in the Independence Square, so he can't move or he can't run after anybody when they come to attack him. So we have made complaints to this regard and have spoken to the police at length about working with these persons to help them in terms of the attacks, because many times this guy can't get to the police station to make the complaint. So once we get that, we then connect with the police community officers and try to rectify this matter. However, we have not received any complaints as yet for this incident that you are talking about. But I've just alerted my on-the-road team, and they are going to go out on the road now to investigate whether or not this is the truth or what is going on right now. Because I'm getting calls from other media houses as well in relation to this matter.
So tell me, is the beating of vagrants, I mean, is this something that goes on in Barbados? I mean, or this is just a fluke thing, an unusual occurrence?
No, it's something that's been going on for a while. And as I said, it has not been addressed in the way we wanted it to address. We know that we are bringing more awareness. It had slowed down when we started to address it earlier this year, or earlier last month, I should say. When we were addressing it, there was a real slowdown in the abuse on homelessness, and we would have seen from the death of Ms. Rogers, that would have, in some sense, put a halt to the beating of homeless persons. However, I'm shocked now to see that this has spiked back up at least to this level.
So why? I mean, I'm just going to ask this, but why do these young people do this? I mean, why do they do it? I mean, what sense does it make? Do you have any idea?
For me, it's stupid and it's reckless and it's just inhumane for anyone to just pick on somebody that's vulnerable, and I can't even to give you a reason, because I don't think that the person even have a reason for what they do and the actions they take. And sometimes if it's affiliated with a group, sometimes it's to prove a point in or to whatever cases they are. I would hate to know that if any gangs are using homeless to blood in terms of becoming members and abusing them, and that's just me being far-fetched there, but I would hate to know that's the point. But I really can't give any conclusive evidence to why people are just attacking the homeless, other than if they're just reckless and foolish in their actions. That's all I can say it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, sir. Well, certainly, if you heard anything else, please let us know here at Brass Stats, because someone is just sent us a WhatsApp saying the gentleman is correct. Boxing Day 2 years ago, my wife and I went to Hero Square to take some pictures of Parliament, and out of nowhere, these boys were throwing glass balls at a homeless man. Nearly hit my wife and I as well. Ridiculous. But it is sad to see that our situation has not a one-off thing.
I'm 2 minutes away from the Independence Square, Sanka, and I would, because I was actually on the road and stopped, but I'm 2 minutes away from Independence Square, and I would take my time and go over there now to see what's the issue, and if any, I'll give you a call back to give you an update on it.
Great. Thank you very, very, very much. That was Kimar Safri from the Vagrants Association, and he will be looking at the situation. We thought we should call and try to get an update on that for you. We've also heard briefly just now from the police public relations officer, acting inspector Rodney Innes, and he is saying that he will investigate the matter and he will also get back to us. This is Brass Tacks. You're on the air. Good morning. It's 11:09.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
I called last week Wednesday about this old man's phone, that line turned off. And up to now, I went to Flo yesterday, and then telling me that the old man have to write a letter. I don't understand why the old man will have to write a letter, because they turn off his service. Somebody else got his number by Wednesday. They disconnect his phone Tuesday. Somebody has the number by Wednesday. They don't have any record of the box he have in the house. So I don't know where the confusion went when the technician went in December. If the technician, what he ain't do right for what he ain't do wrong. But they don't have, they want the box number in the house. I cannot get the box removed from the wall. I tell them we'll have to send a technician. They're telling me we'll have to pay the technician, which I don't feel that's right neither. So I at Ains Lost, and nobody from Floor is not returning my calls.
All right. What I want you to do is call 430-7300. Leave your name and number.
I did that last week.
That's the number. That's the last week. So wasn't this attended to? Because
no.
I remember I passed it on to...
There is another week and nothing happened.
Oh,
and the old man's phone is still off.
Huh. That's strange. All right.
And
well,
he ain't owe nobody. He ain't owe nothing.
Well, I will try to see. Look, just to remind me, just leave the number there again. Our operator, and I will follow up for you and get back to you to find out exactly what is happening on that one, okay?
All right. Next question I have
to
ask.
Yes, go right ahead.
I realize they have government security at the hospital and they still have G4S. What is the problem to have G4S and why they can't get all government security guards? That's my question. I say FINAS too, you know. So I want to know what the problem is now. That I have two sets of security guard at the hospital.
One private and one public.
Yeah. So I want to know what is that really going on. Because it was at NIS when I went there. And I was like, oh yeah, they got government guards and they still got another firm. I said, well, I don't really understand.
So what do you think going on? All right, then. You have a great day, huh?
You too.
WhatsApp person is saying here that this is the incident that's taking place with the beating of the elderly is just an example of why there should be even more cameras installed throughout. This is closed circuit cameras installed throughout Bridgetown to see things like when they're happening. And we're getting a tremendous response here in terms of the situation related to Flo. This person here is saying, Mr. Price, my comment regarding Flo and their migration of customers to fiber optic. Whereas I recognize that technological progress is necessary, Flo should not be allowed by the Fair Trading Commission to be providing a service that is not available during a power outage. And the latter has been occurring very frequently. One of Flo's agents mentioned on the radio a few days ago that customers need to purchase an UPS system that's uninterruptible power supply. But this is unacceptable. I have lived abroad and used fiber optic telephone service which was not affected by power outages. If Flo is made to pay customers in accordance with the service standards requirements of the FTC, I believe that would take a different approach to service provision here in Barbados. Well noted, and you got that out. And people are also saying here, they're commenting on what is happening with these young men who seem to be involved in beating vagrants. When this person is saying, when the police catch those boys, they should do the same thing to each one of them. They want beating. What they are doing is awful. Bet their parents don't know or care where they are. Bunch of young criminals in the making. Well, these are the perspectives. These are the perspectives. But, you know, beating people just seems to make them more bold. That is something that it's like some psychologists and psychiatrists have been saying. So, anyhow, we go back to the phone lines. It is 11:14. Remember, we break at 11:55 for regional roundup. You're on the air. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Price.
Yes, sir.
Just a short note. Mm-hmm. Those guys that are doing the damage, there was a night I was there by the building that used to have chef at, and about eight of them see me. He said, this man want beating. I said, well, I ain't that old man that wanted to beat down the road. You see that radio station up there? When I beat to over there, you will hear breaking news, and the family would know then. But it is a fact.
But how do you know they're from Nelson Street? I mean, they could be coming, they could be maybe exiting from that street, but that doesn't mean they're from Nelson Street, you know.
Nelson Street, Wellington Street. I'd be wrong the area every night, and that's where they just come from. They ain't from the point. They're from out there. But they see them walking through there.
I see. So have you ever... Well, so this, what really bothers me here is that if this sort of thing is happening, I would have thought that somebody would at least say something, would identify one or two of them and be able to say something to their parents or at least report the matter to the police so that we have some sort of action, because today it's the vagrant, tomorrow it's an average citizen.
You're right. They want to trouble the average citizen too.
It will come to that. So I would like to think that somebody would speak up about it from early. It disturbs me that I'm sitting here listening that this thing has been going on for so long and nobody don't seem to care to care about what's going on.
But there's a night that I call the police and I never saw the police. Never see the police come yet. You just call them but they don't come, so they won't see anything. Or if you call them in the guys down in the Independence Square area where they can trap them, you don't see them. You don't see the police. So that's another thing.
Well, at the same time, too, the police may not have a vehicles or roving report. The roving patrols may take a little while to get there, and by the time they get there, the guys would have gone. But it is certainly a concern, and it really should not be allowed to happen. Not in this society, not at this time at all. If you want to share anything else with us, sir?
That's all.
Okay, well, thank you very much for calling.
All right, you're welcome.
The WhatsApp here is saying, this type of behavior on the part of young kids borders on sociopathic behavior. These kids will go on to become serious offenders. And that is my concern as well. You just don't wake up one morning and decide that you're going to unfair somebody and then get violent. This is something that it gets darker and darker as you age, and we know enough stories about some of the mass killers, you know, in the United States and those places, how they started out and what the motivation was and whatnot. So certainly anything like this would be very, very disturbing, and I sincerely hope that the police will get to the bottom of this and that we can report some sort of success in being able to get a handle on this problem. It really is not good enough. We go back to the phone lines. It is 11:18. Good morning. You're on the air.
Morning, Mr. Price.
Good morning.
Hey. Yeah, I am very concerned about the abuse to the elderly. Mm-hmm. I did a course in 201 of called Care of the Elderly. And I hope lots of people, especially women, would seek to do this course because it benefits, even if you don't get any line of actually working in a clinic or something, it helps to understand what goes on in the life of the elderly and so on, and to appreciate them.
Mm. Where did you do the course, by the way?
Sammy Jackman Press. Good.
No, why? Why did you do the course?
Because care of the elderly is what I wanted to do, to care the elderly. I have a soft spot for the elderly because my godmother, she was very good to me, and I grew up with that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was a wonderful course. It is sad, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I just say that hurting people hurt people. You know that one?
Come again? You know, come again? I didn't hear that.
I said, I'm not a psychologist, but they would tell you that hurting people hurt people.
Hurting people hurt people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. People who hurt,
mm-hmm.
who are hurting for some whatever reason or other,
hurt people.
Tend to hurt people.
Other people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very true.
So these young boys, they have issues. they have issues. I after I did the course, I was working a bit, right? And one of my friends who went on to work with the she was in Black Rock, you know where the Lazarette what?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was a shelter, you know. Down there, you could get a bed, you get your food, you could go, you could come and go, but you had to get in. These are what we call vagrants, homeless people.
Yeah.
You had to get in by, I think it was by 6 o'clock in the evening or something like that. I think it was, if not 6, 7 o'clock, but in most say it was 6 o'clock, you had to get in, mm-hmm. right? But you wasn't confined to the space. And the persons who stayed there would go downtown and, you know, hang around and come back. I know they would have a clean bed, sheet, some food, and rest their head for the night. And when we went into the first set of austerity, that place was closed.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wonder why.
This is in 2009, 2010, or around that time?
When we went to the first set of, I can't remember if it's 8, 9, 10 or what. But that place was closed down. And it hurt me because I always wonder why the needy always seem to pay first. The welfare for women was reduced. That place was closed down. And then Mr. Safri, he saw the need, and he took up the mantle, so to speak. But unless everybody is on board with looking after the elderly and so on, it will continue. You see, these persons, the course taught us that some person, everybody's not a drug addict. Some is alcoholism that has placed people on the street. Some is drugs, as you would know. Some is plain mental illness. Some of them have homes, but they're afraid to back home because mentally something has disturbed them there. And that is why some of these people are on the streets. They're not mainly criminals or anything like that, right? So if I sound a bit late at working and still talking to you, I would like to see. I would like to see the new government, whether it's still this one, a new administration, look at rehousing these persons. Some will not go, but still, you wouldn't see the amount that you're seeing on the street. And Mrs. Safri, he and his people, I know they would be glad for help, but it was a lot of work, and government need to look into it. They're talking about legalizing marijuana. We are going to get more of this, believe it or not. And those same young men that walking about beating the old people, they were in the same state. So it has to be tackled from many areas. I was in New Jersey about 3 years ago, and they had a documentary on the same issue, you know. And the guy, when they interviewed one of the guys on the street, he said, he was just there laying down, and people just passed and kicked him and spit on him. I said to him, I said, so why was somebody just... So I don't know if people see them as useless, what, but something wrong with the people who are interfering with these people. You get where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
If you see a vagrant, are you going to stop walking or stop doing what you're doing? Are you going to head over to him and give him a kick or spit on him? Something is wrong with you.
Definitely.
So I'm hoping that any new administration, see, there's a shelter there in Saints Way Road, right?
Yeah, this is the Clay Gallup shelter.
Yes, mm-hmm. But you know, they get food, they have a bed for the night, but up to now they have to leave during the day?
Yes, that's normal, yeah. That's been going on for years.
If there, some of those men, I'm a little familiar with it. If some of those men are can be put in a way to help themselves, in not all maybe, but, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think that will help as well, instead of everybody having to leave there to come back the evening. So we really have to find ways to help it, because we're going to get some more of this homelessness if we don't turn things around. So I'm praying that the incoming government will look at it. There's a lot to do, honestly. There's a lot for any incoming government to do. But please look at those who are in dire need first.
All right.
All right.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for your concern. Rastax, this is Sanka Price here with you. Graham Vaughn is the producer, and Mr. Kevin Hines is our production assistant, and the first voice you hear when you call us today at 4341790. Of course, we're getting lots of messages here on our WhatsApp as well, and they're all very, very concerned about what is happening in terms of the beatings of vagrants in Bridgetown, specifically Independence Square. We have, just let me read a couple for you, because I have... They're just flowing in. Mr. Price, we have a deeper social problem when young men take to beating elderly folk for fun. What sort of upbringing must a young man have to willfully abuse someone for fun? Worse than that, how does a dysfunctional young person find an entire like-minded group? We need some social intervention. We may stop them, but they come from families and communities. So if we don't do more, new ones will follow. And this one says, take a walk out there at night and see for yourself. Only young boys congregate there. I have to pass there to get to the bus terminal. And although I have never seen them attacking the vagrants, lots of young boys are on the street around there. Funny enough, the older men are by the supermarket or by the bus stand area. This person says, two quick points or suggestions. I personally feel that the cops know about the abuse or the beatings in Independence Square, and they simply need to put police undercover in a sting operation, and you only need to catch one, and he or she is going to call out everyone else. And this other person here is saying that, let me see if I can read this very, very quickly, because there's so much here. This is not bordering on sociopathic behavior. This is sociopathic behavior. It is criminal. We need to call it as it is. And this last one I'm going to read. The problem with young men beating the elderly and homeless is a symptom of group behavior. Studies show the people in groups lose sight of morality. We see this phenomenon among soldiers, etc., all over the world and throughout history. And this last one, Sanka, some people even set them on fire. The perpetrators are brought to justice. You just can't mess with homeless or anyone got that mad. The police will look for you. Ladies and gentlemen, this thing is a very serious thing. And as I said, first you start with the homeless and the defenseless, and then you go on to other average citizens. And this situation needs to be dealt with seriously. We go back to our phone lines. It's 11:33. In the next 22 minutes, we break for the regional roundup. And sir or madam who's on the line, please turn your radio down. I'm already getting feedback. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Price?
Yes, it is.
You can still hear the feedback?
No, we're good.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. Listen, mm-hmm. I am appreciative of the persons who brought this savory matter about the homeless and the beating to the public attention again, because this is nothing new. And to me, it seems that a lot of people don't really take this serious unless it comes close to them. Now, my suggestion is they have a lot of these persons who have phones and cameras, and they use it for nothing good. What I suggest for them to do this time is to try to use it for something beneficial and good. Because if they believe to themselves it does not affect them today, as the gentleman also indicated, you could be in town, miss a particular bus, or go to one of those late restaurants and happen to be just in the midst of these savory, whoever, children, gentlemen, girls, whatever. And you all may have just butter on the savory thing. So my suggestion is this. Try, if you all see anything that's going on, whoever is around, use the camera on your phone. You need to have, don't try to grab the whole group. If you have a camera that don't have the good, what you would call the good camera, try to zoom in on one, as you suggested. You only need one. And if the police are aware of this, because this have been expressed on this radio station, other radio stations, not only now, why is this still allowed to flourish? And as you said also, this is true, I was going to mention that, it's going to migrate. It is going to migrate. And if those little groups of children, whoever they are, find that they get away with it, other ones will join. Mm-hmm. And soon from now, we have a an uncontrollable amount of whoever or whatever in the city or probably other places, which then you all want to call again gangs. So I would appreciate if some person or other person, as I suggested, have phones, use it. You know, use it. You all have some things there that you all could use to help. Don't just think it's not going to catch you all. It will. As you all have seen what happened in our society already, a lot of things catch it with everybody. Thank you, Mr. Price, for listening.
Thank you, sir, very, very, very much for that information. What we're going to try to do is to, we're going to get some word as to exactly what's happening. We're going to try to get back Kimar Safri at some point. But we'll take another call in the interim. Good morning. You're on Brass Tacks. You're on Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Price.
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air.
Oh, yes. Good morning to you. 2 points I would like some guidance on. Parliament was dissolved, I think, the 6th of February or March, something like that. But yet, still, Pre-Concord was given a contract to do the Empire Theatre. Is that right?
This is the first time I'm hearing about that, sir. Where did you get that from?
That was on your Malone, is Pre-Concord?
Yeah, but where did you get that from? I can't remember.
On the news.
Which news?
The Empire Theatre. He was given the contract.
When did you hear this?
I heard it on the news about 2 weeks ago.
I didn't hear it, so I can't really comment on it. And,
okay,
I'll have
it
to
out,
check
though,
it out and yes. To find out. But in any case, the key thing really would be to when one looks at that. Remember that this thing was for the Empire Theater was going on for a while, and there were bids and whatnot, but we may have been involved. So we have to find out about it, okay? All right, sir. Thank you very much. We have Kimar Safri back on the line. Kimar, are you there?
Hi, Zanka. Yes,
Kimar. Could you tell, we found out anything about these beatings in Independence?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I was very close to the area, mm-hmm. and I got there before my team, and I would have asked questions with the Rangers and some other persons that were there. Mm-hmm. No one saw anything, but I found one of the guys that was actually beaten with a 2x4 by a group. He said a group of men would have beaten him with a 2x4. So we are having this abuse on the homeless back on the rise again. We really need to do something about it seriously because it's really not something that that we condone at all.
How old is he and what sort of condition is he in now?
He is in a very bad condition because he's one that would be considered a vagrant, meaning that he lives, dwells, he's not clean. He has a mental problem, but not one where he would interfere with people, but more so he's going through like depression and different stuff that faced with family. So in speaking to him, he's not very talkative, but he would only talk to those who he know, which would be my staff and myself. So he would have just said that the men would have beaten him. And this was in last night coming into the morning time that he would have been talking about.
Mm-hmm. So what was the nature of his injuries? Anything broken?
Well, not that he know. There's some swellings. But he's not going to go to any hospital. I asked him if he would, so we will have to send our nurses out to him. I've asked him if he wants to come and go to the police station. He doesn't want to go to the police station because he fears his condition and what's not, and they may come back after him, so he prefer not to move from the spot. I'm still sitting in the same spot that he was beaten in.
All right. And from here, you can just get your people to him to try to take care of him in some sort of way?
Yes, our people will definitely go out and send out the nurses and what's not to go out and to deal with any injuries or to see if there's anything serious that we'll have to, try to force him in some way to go to the hospital if it is life-threatening in any sense. But we would deploy the nurses as soon as we get them on online. And this is why Sanka, we are moving as an organization to have a shelter to be able to secure these guys, especially at night, because they're not talking about beating at day so much, but they're talking about in the hours that we always are in there with myself and you may be sleeping hard. So we need to be able to address this and you know, get these people off the streets. And we would have talked to government seriously about this and predicted that there would have been an increase in violence, just like how there would have been an increase in homelessness. And because we have 27 actually new cases of homeless persons for the year. This is crazy. And we don't have anywhere to put these persons to be able to protect them of the elements. And also, don't have to even worry about the element, but to protect them from these crazy people out there doing these acts on homelessness, homeless persons and these persons that are affected by vagrancy. So we need to, you know, this is something that needs to be addressed seriously. And we've advocated this for 10 years now. And, you know, it's sad to see that we're in the position and not taken seriously by our government, are not taken seriously where we should be taken seriously to get these people off the street. They want to come off the street, but if you're going to leave them stuck on the streets for this length of time, in some cases where they change and they go to another level, which makes it harder, you know, to really reach them, that's where the problem is. So we need to capture people where now before they get on the street and being abused, and because we have to face this every day. And we have to, you know, it's really heart-wrenching on us to have to go through this every day with our homeless persons being abused. And we're advocating this and still yet no building, no assistance in that area. So I figured this may not be your last call, you know. Sorry to say it, but it may not be your last call.
All right, Kimura, at least you're on the job. And I certainly will talk to you off the air later on this same matter. Thank you much. Okay, thank you very much. Welcome back. We're back on the air. Yes, good. We take a call? Good morning. Thank you for holding. You're on the air. Brass Axe, you're on the air. Good morning. All right. We go back to the WhatsApp until. This person is saying, why on earth would you leave your home to beat a vagrant? His life is hard enough. So let me see how this government would handle this. This country gone, gone, gone. This other person here is also, I can't read this one, given all the different expressions inside of it. But basically, this person here is saying that it is really, really sad what is going on. And they think that government really needs to move on something like this, because this is something that the authorities need to be talking about and actually need to be doing. Because it's just a matter of time before people start, these same young people start attacking the average citizen. We go back to our phone lines. This is Brass Axe. It's 11:48. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I have a problem concerning the transport system in Barbados.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting to me and it's worse and worse every day. I'm not working, but I go into town to do my business. When you go into town now, you have to wait 3-4 hours, sometimes 5, to get a bus. I was in the bus terminal on Monday, and this is a Sergeant Street route. I waited 4 hours before I get a bus.
4 hours?
4 hours.
This is a bus going to St. John.
Sergeant Street.
Okay.
There was, all the other stands were cleared on the hour. There's the Edie Village bus. There had 3 buses and a van running concurrently, one behind the other. I mean on the hour. And no Sergeant Street bus within those limits. I mean, come on. One bus came in for Edie Village. Nobody got on that bus. Everybody said to him, why don't you tell them Sergeant Street need a bus? Go tell them and send a bus here. We ain't had one for 4 hours. I mean, nobody paid any attention to it. This is going on every day. Every day, Mr. Ellis. People are there pregnant.
But tell me something. How many people were there with you?
Lots of people.
We call lots of people. 10 people? 15
Sometimes
people?
Sometimes 10? Sargent Street always has a busload with two loads or three loads in one bus.
Well, you would think if it has a lot of people, that that would be a priority to send it, because that means the bus would be full and you'll get full revenue from the trip.
Mr. Ellis, Sargent Street is a route that has always has a load of people. As I'm telling you, sometimes we're in the doorway, right up to the driver sometimes. Huh? You mean this is something that's going on every day? Nobody cannot look into this. People is complaining other than myself. This has been going on for a long time. People are there pregnant, they're old people. I see a old lady in there one day feeling bad and nervous. And something came to me and said her sugar level is dropping. And I had a Sprite in my bag, and I said to a lady next to her, give her some of this to drink. She gave it to her, and the lady came back. The lady said she was there 3 hours waiting for a bus. This is has not been no going on. This is everyday something. There has minivans working up here, but we are so abused by those conductors and the drivers that some people do not like to catch them. If you have groceries, you can't get in the minibus with the groceries because they're cursing you out and telling you, don't put them there, don't put them here. You know what? Because the space you should put the groceries, they want passengers to stay up there. I mean, I cannot take the abuse from them. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. We cannot get a bus till 3, 4, or 5 hours.
Who have you reported this to? In
even I had called the transport mm-hmm. board before.
Mm-hmm. And was there no improvement?
Not one. We had any improvement.
But did you speak to your parliamentary representative at the time, Ms. Thompson, about it?
That's another story.
All right.
Let's go there.
Okay, don't let's go there.
It don't seem as though St. John's has a representative.
Well, no place has a representative right now because we are preparing for elections. But I would have
this
thought...
This has been going on for years.
Yeah, it seems that way, but what really bothers me is that I would think that the inspectors or the supervisors inside the terminal, if they recognize that they have a full load to send to, say, like Sargent Street, that they would, as soon as the bus comes in, say, even if it's a Silver Sands bus, you redirect it up there because you obviously can get easier transportation to go to those places on the South Coast than you can get to to St. John. So I would have thought that you would use your discretion in that way. So it really surprises me that I'm hearing this.
Nothing is... Let me tell you what happened to me one day. I was mm-hmm. catching Sam Lawrence Castle bus. I was going to Oyston. I was rung by the hut where they work at the... What you call them? The supervisors work. Mm-hmm. And I went to them and say, are you all having a 12 o'clock bus? The man that is the man there, the supervisor, and there's a woman there that calls out the buses. The man said to me, there's a schedule. I said, but I am not in the terminal. I'm out here by you. So I want to know if you are having a 12 o'clock bus. Otherwise, I'll go over in the van term in the van stand and catch a van. Ask the girl. I asked her. They got a schedule. I said, miss, I'm just asking a decent question. Are you having a 12 o'clock bus? Because I figure you have a schedule there in front of you. The man said, you hear what the woman tell you? I said, all right, thank you. Let me leave here. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of behavior.
It's sad to hear. And you're getting some support here. One person is saying, good morning. It is so true about the bus service. We got to take a break now for the regional roundup, and we'll be back shortly. But clearly, we can't have a situation where people are going to be still waiting 4 hours for a bus. I mean, that is just ludicrous. That should never, ever be happening in Barbados. No way. I would think that people should be using their initiative and redirecting the routes, redirecting the buses wherever they can. And we developed this when after the regional roundup. So please stay with us.